Blog Talk Radio.
Doubt, imperpetual neediness, survival redeeminess, provision for every single distress and impediment, relevant, necessary for spiritual nourishment. I got your encouragement, anointed with element. Exalted mighty God, my strength. Foolishness to think my mighty God can't quench it. Burn until it burns with this joy I found. I know we need the Lord right now, right now.
Come on, you need him right now. Let me hear you. Come on, say it. Give it to me. One.
That's right. That's right.
Wait. I have made some awful decisions.
That's right.
That caused me sorrow, like a head-on collision.
Oh,
there's always madness.
Yeah.
Oh, my dear. That makes me feel like losing my religion.
Yeah.
So let me share with you.
Yeah.
This one thing I know.
No.
You will come through. That's why I don't lose hope. I call on him because I know there's power.
Podcast Network,
your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook. Happy New Year, and welcome to the first Taking It to the Streets of the New Year on this Monday, January 2nd, 2023. Now, first, I want to give honor to God, to all of the Spirit Alive servant leaders that are present, and to you, God's elect. Hallelujah. And before we begin, as always, we will have a word of prayer. Most gracious and Heavenly Father, I come before your throne of grace, asking that I decrease so that you might increase, Father God. Hallelujah. Father, use this message to equip and encourage your people, Lord. And I pray that if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that they will be encouraged to give their life to you right now, today. Father, I want to thank you for all that you're doing in us, through us, and for us. So just help us to become stronger in you and to be transformed more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus. I pray this and all other things in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, for those of you that faithfully follow the Spirit Alive family, you know that we are dedicated to sharing God's truth in love so that it sets the atmosphere for the Spirit of God to bring about deliverance, healing, restoration, and transformation to the lives of God's people. We are here to make help disciples that truly know the love, joy, and peace of being in a relationship with God as they follow Jesus Christ. And we're also concerned about the whole man because God is concerned. Therefore, we must tackle the unpleasant issues that Christians can experience. And one of the things that has been bothering me for a while now is the fact that so many Christians are professing their fear and anxiety instead of their faith. I mean, I'm hearing it everywhere. I'm hearing Christians saying things like, I don't know what will happen to us, or it looks like the enemy is winning. So it goes without saying that in any given church on any given Sunday, there will be a significant number of people struggling with fear and anxiety. Yet despite its prevalence, people of faith who suffer from fear or anxiety may also experience an added layer of guilt, shame, confusion, or denial. For you see, a Christian can hear the famous Bible verse, "Be anxious for nothing," and conclude that God's only answer is to suck it up, buttercup, or just stop it. So many Christians believing that their trust in God should eliminate things like doubt and fear, they keep quiet about their anxiety or they try their best to ignore it. And they may even feel like a failure because their mental health is less than perfect. Fear and anxiety comes in many forms. Anxiety over work or study, anxiety about your purpose or your calling, or anxiety over God's will for your life. Some may be experiencing feelings of guilt or not being good enough for God. You're dealing with insecurity and fear about what other people are thinking. Therefore, sometimes you will be obsessive, compulsive. You're in disorder, and you have questions about the meaning of life. So you see, it seems that faith doesn't shield us from the common struggles of mankind.
Amen.
But whatever kind of fear or anxiety a person is facing, there's one thing that is for certain. They're not the only one. And it's becoming more and more prevalent in our communities, and trust and believe that the church is not immune. So tonight, I want to give you a general overview of what this series is going to entail, because I really and truly want all of us to be free from fear or anxiety. So I will be sharing in depth how we can move from a place of fear and anxiety to a place of faith and trust. See, you need to understand that fear and anxiety are both spiritual attacks. But oh, hallelujah, God has given us every divine tool needed to overcome them through spiritual warfare.
Yes.
You see, we have to stop looking at things going on in the world. And we have to look to God, who is always faithful. Now, later in this study, I will introduce you to a book written by Carol Peters Hanksley entitled Overcoming Fear Through Anxiety and Fear and Anxiety Through Spiritual Warfare. But before I did that, I felt that some groundwork was needed because, like I said, I truly want every believer to overcome fear and anxiety and move to a place of trust, excuse me, and faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Because, and the reason I want us to do that is because we are told in Matthew 6:19-34, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you.
Yes.
Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Yes.
See, things, what I'm saying is, it seems to me that the motto of many of the 21st century Christians seems to be, why trust when you can worry? Now, some realize it's wrong and they try to hide their worry by giving it other titles such as, oh no, I'm concerned, I'm troubled, I'm disturbed. You know, I'm really interested, or I'm bothered. But regardless of the term used, worry saps our energy. It drains our joy, destroys our vision, curtails our evangelism, and aggravates physical ailments. And unfortunately, it's also very, very contagious. It's easily caught and fearfully experienced. Now, the Greek word for worry is marimneo, and it's a combination of two words, marizo, which means to divide, and nos, which means mind. So worry actually means a divided mind. In the Bible, the word is translated worry, anxious, anxiety, or care. But it is not to be confused with the diligent care and concern toward our responsibilities, as recorded in 2 Corinthians 11:28, Philippians 2:20, and Galatians 4:19. Also, planning that acknowledges God's sovereignty is not worry. That's recorded in James 4:13. Worry is over-anxious concern regarding the future and trepidation that will keep us from fulfilling current biblical responsibilities. What am I saying? This kind of worry stops us in our tracks and keeps us from being effective for the kingdom of God. So worry is sinful. In Matthew 6:19-34, Jesus addressed worry, and he forbade it three times, in verses 25, in verses 31, and in verse 34. Now, the Apostle Paul also tells believers to be anxious for nothing. That's found in Philippians 4:6. Now, Christ's teaching in Matthew 6 exposes now the two sinful roots of worry. But then he gives us a cure for each. In the Bible, fear is often spoke of in the same sense as worship. You see, fear produces worship. What we fear dictates what we worship. What we worship determines how we worship. What we fear Worship is either the living God or an idol. Okay? That's it. That's all. As we talk about worry and anxiety, we should know that fear is never distant. We worry because we fear. We are anxious because we fear. And we fear because we do not fear God rightly. You see, worry is idolatry. And the solution is repentance. And that is recorded, beloved, in Matthew 6, 19 through 25. Now, for my young people, let me explain something to you. Idolatry means to worship someone or something other than the true and living God.
Living God.
It means giving yourself to some person, goal, ideal, concern, or object instead of Christ Jesus. And it means putting your desires above God's desires and commands for your life. It is allowing your concerns about the future, situations, and material objects to be more important than thinking and acting as God has commanded us to think and act. You see, worry expresses idolatry in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when we worry, we tend to have an inordinate focus on material things. Let's look at verse 6, 19 through 21 in the book of Matthew. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Yes.
And then, some of us might have an inordinate focus on goals. So let's look at verse 22 through 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? How many people are just feeling like they're in a void because, or a vacuum because they're worried about how they're performing at work, or they're worried about what their bosses are thinking about them, or they're worried about how their business might fit, you know, whatever the case may be. We get anxious. And then we have a focus on people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what they think. You know, how I look in their eyes. But verse 24 of Matthew 6 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Mammon. Amen.
See, we need to understand. I'm trying to get you to get all down in your spirit and really look at some stuff. See, the things you worry about reveal your idols. Things like finding a mate, getting a promotion, health, money, success, children, opinions, etc., etc., etc. Jesus declares that you cannot serve God and something or someone else simultaneously, point blank, period. A warrior needs to be called to confess his false master, false gods, and false refuges, and renew his faith in Christ Jesus with the quickness. You see, worry is unbelief, and the solution to unbelief is faith. Now let's keep it moving. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. You know, Jesus describes worriers as people of little faith. And the presence of worry indicates that there is someone or something you are living for other than the Lord. Now there are two senses in which Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. They can be found in Matthew 16:24, Mark 8:34, and Luke 9:23. First, when we come to Christ for the first time, we are commanded to consider the cost of following Christ. And we need to understand that it is likened to dying. Second, in Luke, he says, take up the cross daily, which indicates to me an ongoing series of choices that need to be made. In everything and in every way, we are to choose between the world, our desires, our longings, our fears, and Jesus. So what's it going to be? He says, take up your cross and follow me. Not follow the crowd, not follow the houses, not follow the cars, not follow the money. He says, take up your cross and keep your eyeballs on me. Now, the fruit of repentance for someone who worries will be manifesting faith in God by disciplining their minds to begin to focus on different things, like God's care for mankind, okay, as recorded in verses 25 through 30. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which to the day is and the morrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?
See, yes, he will.
We need that first thing I want you to understand, that fear and anxiety comes from a place of lack of faith. Okay? So you need to focus on the fact that God cares for us. I mean, if he cares for the birds, if he cares for the lilies of the field, what makes you think he's not going to take care of you? And then you need to start focusing on God's omnipotence. Because, you know, God knows your needs. Now, we're still walking through Matthew 6, and I'm down to 31 through 32, where the word of God declares and decrees again, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or wherewithal shall I be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that what ye have need of all these things. So
yes.
You need to understand, God is always working with the finished product. He knows what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it. He knows about it all in advance. There's no surprise in God. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He's also omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. Okay? He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's almighty. He can do everything. So you need to understand, first of all, that God's promises are real. Because this is what verse 33 says. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. See, a lot of people are seeking the kingdom of God, but they're not seeking his righteousness. They still want to live holy with a twist. They still want to listen sometimes. They don't really want to walk upright before God. So when they don't receive, they get anxious, they get fearful. But you need to start focusing on the fact that God's promises are real. And one of the ways that we can please God is by caring for our responsibilities. Let's look at verse 34. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You see, the idolatry and the unbelief of worry is to be replaced, beloved, by worship and faith in God. Now catch this. And when you do that, it will manifest itself in a lifestyle that is marked by, one, a right relationship with God. Philippians 4:6-7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Or Christ Jesus, excuse me.
Yes.
Now, this relationship makes a grateful petition to God, okay? And it's characterized by confessing worry as a sin. But when we go to the Lord and we raise up that petition, it is governed by active peace that will give us hope. So, instead of worrying about things that cannot be changed, we are to pour our hearts out to the Almighty God, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he is good, knowing that he wants to be our all in all. You see, it shows itself when we make a general as well as specific request, when we request God's love and care. Huh? When we want to understand how he is using our trials to spur on our growth. And we're walking in that peace that he provides. We should make it our goal to please him. So one, we'll be in a right relationship with God through our prayer life. Two, we will then have right thinking. Word of God says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellent, if there be anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You see, faith is having a clear conscience, and thankfulness frees the mind to be used correctly. You see, the mind will need to be disciplined to dwell on these things. Not those things in the world, but these things. Whatsoever things are pure, just, lovely, of good report. We should be dwelling on them things. You know, we are to plan according to biblical principles and priorities. And we should be solution-oriented in dealing with problems. Amen. And if you want to do some extra homework on that, you can study John 14:1, Peter 5:6-7, Psalm 20. I mean, look, the entire Psalm 27, 37, 46, 56, 73, and 94. Precept upon precept. Okay, so therefore, when you're in a right relationship with God, and then you get your right thinking going on, that will lead to right acting. Huh. Philippians 4:9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So we ought to be focusing our attention and energy into fulfilling our responsibilities for today. We have to be living what we teach. We have to be living what we preach. We need to be demonstrating what we believe. You know me, I always tell you, people will never believe what you say until they can see what you believe living, being lived out in you. Now, I want you to note the progression of this thing here. See, note. Right praying leads to right thinking. And right thinking leads to right action. See, there is a process there. Everything is done by a process. Now, let us focus on fear for me. Because some sins are so common among Christians that they appear to be acceptable behavior. And I believe that fear and worry would certainly be at the top of the list. We will consider them together in this study because of the similarities between both problems and their solutions. So tell me, true or false, fear per se is not wrong. That's true. In Scripture, Jesus is never said to be afraid. Think about it. The fear of God is the only thing that removes all other fears. True or false? God warns us over 450 times in the Bible not to fear. I think Brother Mitchell gave that one away.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And Genesis 3:10 is the first occurrence of fear in the Bible. You see, fear is a feeling of anxiety and agitation caused by the presence or nearness of perceived, now, check this out, perceived. It ain't even real yet. But perceived danger, evil, or pain. A good act, I like that act, a good acronym for fear is indeed false evidence appearing real. And when we walk in fear instead of faith, that acronym can also stand for we forfeit every available resource given by who? God.
God. Yes.
So fear, that fear can have, you know, we can put some things in there. But now, check this out. There are some fears that are right. For instance, the fear of God Almighty. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hallelujah. What they're saying, I don't care what you say. When you get right down to the nitty-gritty, we got to fear God and keep his commandments, which means that we have to go be therefore making disciples. That means we have to be, all of us have to be ministers of reconciliation. Okay. Let's all go on to 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Okay. You got to think about how you're living. And Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Another good fear to have, a fear of danger. Job 41:33 says, if on earth there is not his life, who is made without fear? So there's just going to be some things. We see some dangers coming. Look here, we're not going to stand around like knuckleheads in the middle of the trouble. We're going to get out the way.
Amen.
Genesis 4:14-15 says, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. So you see, it's good to have a fear of danger. And then in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it is recorded by the Word of God says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Then, sometimes we have fear due to guilt. Proverbs 28:28:1 says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as lions. And Matthew 14:1-2 declares and decrees, at the time Herod the tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, he said unto his servant, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Boy, that conscience was getting to it, wasn't it? And in Leviticus, we can 26:17-18, we can read, as I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before my enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee, and none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all the hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 more times for your sin. So see, we need to be afraid of doing wrong. Yes, we should. Yes, we should not be happy when we sin. Okay, we should not be happy when we fall short. There should be a fear and a trembling and a forgive, asking for forgiveness before the Lord. So fear is right and good. Now hear me now. Fear is right and it is good when it moves us toward God. When it moves us into a relationship, even fuller and more meaningful relationship with God, where we are acting with biblical behavior instead of out of our flesh. Now, here's some fears that are wrong. When we fear man and not God. Okay, well, let me tell you what John 12:42-43 says. It says, nevertheless, amongst the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. Because Lord tells us, if we looking for our glory down here, we don't have nothing in store up there, okay? So that's the wrong kind of fear to have. When you fear what men think of you more than you worry about what God knows about you, oh, yeah, you got more than you should. Yeah, I can understand your fear and your anxiety. Luke 12:4-5 says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I always tell people, excuse me, I don't fear you because you don't have no heaven or no hell to put
hell
you in.
Send me to.
So why should I fear you? Why should I worry about what you believe? Why should think about me? Honey, I'm worried about what God knows about me. Because, see, this body is going to die. It's going to go back. It came from the dust. It's going to go back to the dust. Hallelujah. But when my spirit stands before the Lord, I'm here to tell you, all I want to hear is well done.
Yeah.
Now, another fear that is wrong, okay, see, this brings me to my point. Fear of things temporal rather than things eternal. See, that's why I'm saying. I know for myself, I read in my whole world that if I believe on Christ Jesus, even though I die, yet shall I live. Okay?
That's right.
I'm going to believe in what's eternal because 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Hallelujah. We should not be praising this temporal stuff. We shouldn't be more worried about our homes, our cars, our money, our this, our that, our positions, our degrees, our blah, 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 blah. That's all temporal. We need to be fearing the living God. We need to be trying to please the living God. And then there's that fear of things we can't change. I don't know why so many people walk around thinking they can change stuff that God hasn't decided to change. Proverbs 3:7 3 and 25 says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. You know what that means? When you see when the enemy is coming after you, you don't have to be afraid because God is with you, you see. And you need to understand that fear is wrong and it is sinful when it is allowed to motivate thinking and behavior that is unbiblical, when it stops you dead in your tracks from doing what God has called you to do. Oh, but tonight,
yeah.
I want to begin to look at becoming overcomers. And again, for the sake of this study, our focus will be on overcoming fear and anxiety, because the truth be told, there are a lot of things to be fearful of. From this failing economy, people stealing, to being in the dark. There are people that live their life in fear. Some common fears: fear of the dark, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of danger, fear of heights. I know you get it. There's almost a phobia for almost everything. But there's questions I want you to ask yourself as we go through this series. And that is, what does God's word say about fear? I want you to think about, how do you know if you're living in fear? And what can you do to live more victoriously? Now, President Delano Roosevelt, at his first inaugural address after the 1932 election, said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And I think there's some truth in that. But the God of the universe says that we have nothing to fear, point blank, period. Isaiah 13, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Now, this does not mean our lives will be trouble-free, far from it. But the message of God's word is that fear of our enemies, of the future, of failure, whatever our fear is, it shouldn't dominate and paralyze us and keep us from living a victorious life. There are many faces of fear. Guilt and shame are inward forms of fear, and it usually causes depression and anxiety. Anger and hatred manifest themselves outwardly as someone else. But most fears seem to be subtle and unexpected. It starts with one fearful thought, and that leads to another. And boy, before you know it, it's just taking on a life of its own. But what we need to remember is the Bible is full of promises. Promises that God will do what he will say he will do. Why? Because God is trustworthy. God says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So you best believe he is our protector. He tells us that this life is not all there is. For those that know Christ and are a child of God, this is just a moment in time. We're eternal. You know? And when you look at it that way, some promises, promised scriptures, have personal meaning. Psalm 27:1 has personal meaning for me. The Lord is my life and my salvation. So whom shall I fear?
Whom should I fear?
Or
yeah.
What about Isaiah 41:10? Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. He didn't say he's going to drop you. And John 14:27, I love this one, my favorite, says, peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Allowing God to search you out and search the things out in your life, he will be able to identify the birthplace of that fear, begin the process of overcoming and healing it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But watch this. He will help you by increasing your faith. And faith is believing that what we cannot see to come, you know, it's believing what we cannot see will come to pass. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Faith is believing what we cannot see will come to pass. Did you catch that? But you know what? Fear is believing that what we cannot see will come to pass. Huh? Did you catch that? They have the same definition. The only difference is how we look at it. It makes a difference pertaining to what your focus is on. Hope, by definition, is expecting what is desirable to happen. Fear directs our attention to the past or the future based on what we believe will happen in a negative way. Like I said, that acrostic for fear, false evidence appearing real, is, you know, it's a good acrostic. But like I said, I'm more concerned about us forfeiting every available resource that is given to us by God so we can move from this place of fear and anxiety to a place of faith and trust. Faith directs our attention to the past or to the future based on what we believe God can do. Hallelujah. Hope is expecting and anticipating good and positive things in front of us. We can't mix fear and faith. They can't hang out in the same place.
Amen.
Okay? You
Amen.
Can't be powerful and pitiful. Okay? You see, fear will remove faith, or faith is going to remove fear. My question to you tonight is, which one are you going to live? As I already pointed out, there are two kinds of fear. Good fear, which keeps us from extremes that would harm us, like having a pet rattlesnake or maybe jumping off the top of a big old building. And then there's bad fear, that fear that will paralyze us and keep us from being or doing what we should be doing. God wants us to have courageous with godly fear, but Satan wants to beat us down so we are not what God intended us to be. But let me explain to you, remind you, that 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, Satan uses the spirit of stop us, to bind us, to rob us, and it causes us to fall short of what God intends for our lives. God gives us courageous fear that says we cannot do it in our own strength, but we're trusting in God to work it out in our life. We declare Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that
strengthens me. Yeah.
Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, God gives us the power of salvation. God gives us the power to be a witness. God gives us the power to be strong Christian. God gives us the power to endure life setbacks. We do not have to be afraid because the power of God is active in our life. You see, conquering fear is not a point of self-determination, of us just telling ourselves, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. No. You need Jesus. It is not about willpower, like the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. It's not about saying the right thing, like this will not happen to me. But it is about depending on God and putting our trust and love in God. There is no fear in God because perfect love casts out all fear. If you don't believe me, go over and take a gander at 1 John 4:18. You see, trusting in God casts out all fears. It's about exposing the lies like we're going to do through this series. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We're going to break some chains so some things no longer dictate our lives. We don't want to become fearful over lies of the devil. We don't want to jump to conclusions and go to the negative and forget the positive. We're not going to dwell on what might happen because there is a difference between fearful and fearless. One says I can't move, and one says that I can't be stopped. So again, I ask you tonight, which one are you living?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are you doing what you should do, when you should do it? Well, I came to tell you, during this series, we're going to learn how to eliminate our fears. We're going to learn how to connect with the power of God and look beyond the storm to see Jesus. And then we're going to trust Jesus and submit ourselves to Jesus. And we're going to resist the devil and his lies. This is my desire for this series. I pray that we will get it. So right now, hallelujah, if you have a comment or any questions, if you please press your 1, I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. That is the introduction to my series. So again, this is an ongoing series, but if you're in the house and you have a comment or question, hallelujah. You are more than welcome to speak up. If the Spirit Alive family is in the house, we got Spirit Alive family in the house. The topic is overcoming fear and anxiety. Hallelujah. All right. Area code 925, last 4 digits, 3565. Come on in the house, little brother.
Hey, amen, amen, amen.
Amen,
Apostle, I just wanted to tell you right now, I thank God for you at this very moment. I was so anticipating the start of this series. I myself am going along the same thing, and I even texted you earlier today. I was like, we're on the same page,
yeah,
again, sis, because I know how it is. You know, I have my own personal things that I have to deal with when it comes to this situation. Nobody's immune. Nobody's immune.
Nobody.
We come to it because that's why God has to tell us all the time, so many times within the Bible, about the fact that we should not be afraid, that we should
that's
be able to overcome fear by faith, because it's something that's prevalent in our faces every day. It's there. We know it. We have to acknowledge the fact that fear can be a thing that can stand in front of us, and its purpose is to drive us away from God. The purpose for the existence of fear is to drive us away from God.
From God, amen.
One thing, it was the very thing, like you said, in you brought up the verse about Adam and Eve, and they hid from God in the very beginning. And that was the beginning of it. They ran from God.
Yeah.
They were afraid. And ever
since
then, where we are. Once you look at fear, you can dismantle it. You can take it apart, like the series
that you're
putting together. The whole thing, we're gonna take it apart. We're gonna dismantle it piece by piece and see how
the process.
Dismantle it and take it apart and pull the plug out and see at the end of the day that no matter how the machine of fear is constructed, God is always going to be the answer. God is always going to be able to manifest the courage and the faith and the strength that you need to overcome that fear. It's all about getting us to point back at him rather than running from him because of the fear that is in the world.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I just wanted
Amen,
to say that.
Reverend Kelly. All right, Reverend Kelly Mark Jones. You preaching now. Hallelujah. I know that's right. But I thank you. All right now. He on fire. He on fire, Jesus. Okay. Hallelujah. All right.
Praise
we have
God.
Other
Praise
Spirit Alive family in there. I praise God for you, little brother. We have other Spirit Alive family in the house. Pastor Vanessa, come on in the room, and that'll be followed by Minister Tuggle. Then we'll have Mother Mitchell, and then we're going to go up and bug the bishop to see if he would like to have a word. Pastor Vanessa?
Yes, this is, like I said earlier before the show started, this is a great way to start the year, because as God gives us new goals and assignments, we may find that even him talking to us about it, there's some fear there. Even if it's a little bit, it can roll into something bigger than it is. Next thing you know, it stops us in our tracks. So I am looking forward to this series more than you know, and I know it's timely only because of the things that God has been dealing with me about to address when it comes to the spirit of fear. So even as it pertains to things in our family. So I do appreciate this, Apostle Cook. God bless.
God bless you. God bless you, beautiful pastor. I love you so much. All right, let's bring in our own Minister Tuggle. And if anyone else is in here and want to come on in, do feel free. Just press your one, and I will address you by the last four digits of your phone number and your area code. Minister Tuggle? Oh, Lord, are we having difficulties? Okay, well, in the name of Jesus. Well, we will move on to Mother Mitchell, and then I'm going to come back and see what's going on. All right, Mother Mitchell, come on in the room, honey. I know you have some stuff to say.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. I love you so much, and I'm so glad about this series because as a young person, I was very introverted. I didn't say probably three words during the whole time I was from age I was born to 3 years old. I just sit and watch and look and listen. And then when my mom said I did start talking, she says I was the most why-asking child she'd ever run into. And she had run into a lot of children. And I just thank God that he's moving me forward and that he's still teaching me. Even at my age, he's teaching me. And, you know, the biggest thing for me to overcome being introverted was not letting fear stop me. It wasn't I didn't understand that fear was out there. I did. But what seemed more important to me than keeping my eye on the fear was overcoming the fear and not letting the fear stop me. That's why with my three children, I didn't want them to be afraid to speak in front of people or to stand in front of people or to do whatever they needed to do in this world. You cannot operate in this world in fear all the time.
Amen.
Now,
like
you have so eloquently stated, there are some fears that make fear. Somebody shooting a non-
We're not going outside. No, we're not
that
going outside.
Puts
no.
A little bit of fear in you if you really think they're going to shoot you. But it's not that kind of fear we're talking about. Well, it is for the good kind of fear. But we need to understand that all fear and most of fear can be overcome by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
All fear can be overcome by our Lord and Savior.
Thank you.
Yes. Amen. That's all right. I'm still the bishop. Just because I've been elevated to apostle, I didn't stop being the bishop of spirit alive now. That's for real. Now I'm going to go up here, and I know that before the program, my brother Bishop said, my brother Bishop Lester said that he just wanted to listen, but I'm hard-headed, so I'm going up to him anyway. Bishop Lester, man of God, I know you got something to say.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. Praise the Lord. I think the most wonderful thing that I walked away from tonight from your awesome teaching was that we forfeit every available resource. I've never heard that before, but it makes so much sense, and it's so consistent with what the Word of God says. One of the tools, practical tools, that we can all use tonight as it pertains to fear is that verse that you shared at the end where you spoke about how the Word of God says perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. And
fear is present.
To know that your love walk is in need of development. And that love walk is your love walk toward God, your love walk toward yourself, and then your love walk toward others. And you perform your love walk toward God and yourself and others, you'll see the fear in your life diminish so that you no longer have to forfeit every available resource. So that's all I had to because you couldn't add much to what you set the table with tonight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Man.
But you know what? What
Man.
You said was good, because some things need to be reiterated, praise the Lord. And I, you know, I'm one person. And, you know, that's what I have my family in here for. They bring out the good points, the nuggets, you know, and reiterate it. So I want to thank all of the Spirit of Life family, Reverend Kelly Mark Jones, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Bishop Lester Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. But you know what? There's still time for you to get in on this conversation, because all are welcome here. We want to hear from everybody, because there might be a word that you have that will actually bless someone.
Reach
so,
someone. Yeah.
So, you know, Amen. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask Pastor Vanessa, who is also an intercessor and a prophet, to come back in and to really seal this teaching with prayer, because we really do want our brothers and sisters to be free, free from fear and anxiety. We are children of God. We are victorious. We have weapons of warfare, prayer, praise, hallelujah, the word of God. Our, you know, we have so much that we can bring against fear and anxiety if we would only
yeah.
think to use them. So, Pastor Vanessa, would you please bless my program by praying for us?
Yes, ma'am. Father God, we just thank you tonight. First of all, we give you honor and praise. And Lord, that you are worthy of all of our praise and our worship. You're worthy, Father God, of our obedience. You're worthy, Father God, of sacrifice. And I just thank you, Lord, tonight, as this message has been such a blessing. And I'm looking forward to, Lord, the rest of the messages. First of all, thank you for refilling the vessel and who poured out into us, Apostle Cook. I thank you, Lord, today for the burden on her heart for this topic and the way that it has affected the body of Christ. Lord, strengthen her. Strengthen her for the days to come, Lord, to deliver and impart and to teach and to pray and to intercede for us
yes,
about this
Lord.
Matter. I
thank
you, Lord, today for this word, Father, even the scriptures that she utilized, Lord, today, that they will be saturated into our lives and into our memory.
Yes.
And in our memory,
yes.
Lord, to the point where ideologies will be able to be confronted, things will be dismantled. Father God, we'll be able to have our inner man enlightened. I thank you, Lord, and healed as needed, because I thank you, Lord, today for the ravages of fear. It has created a lot of woundedness in the body of Christ. So I just
yeah.
thank you, Father God, today that there be more courage from this word,
yeah.
that there be more patience from this word, that there be more strength from this word, that there be more focus from this
Hallelujah.
Word. Father God, I thank you, Lord, today,
yeah.
even as we go about
yeah.
our day,
mm-hmm.
that it practical application, Father God, will be easy as we
yeah.
begin to confront those things that you lay on our heart, that we lay
yes,
aside
Lord.
The weight and the sin that gets in the way of us addressing the spirit of fear. Thank you for this word, Lord. I thank
Amen.
You that we will be able to understand it, to apply it, and see the fruit in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thank you so amen. Much, Pastor Vanessa. I felt that. I mean, I got Holy Ghost goosebumps. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Would anybody else like to have a word? You are more than welcome. Hallelujah. I think I see some more of my family up in here, and everybody is off mute. So if you would like to just make a comment, you're more than welcome. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Well, once again, I want to thank everybody for coming out. You know I've heard the buzzwords already on television. Be the best you can be in 2023. But my thing is, as Christians, we should be living unapologetically in 2023. That means we should be standing up and living our lives for Christ. We should be walking not in faith and not fear. We should be letting the world know that no matter what is going on, we still serve a mighty God. He is still high and he is still lifted up. Hallelujah. Nothing escapes his attention. Nothing surprises him. He's got us in the palm of his hand. And his holy word says that nothing can remove us from the palm of his hand. So we are going to dig deeper. We are going to be scuba diving into this word. We are going to be looking at this book. We are going to be asking, we have Pastor Vanessa has training. We're going to be speaking, having her come forward and speak. We're going to have everybody up in here that works with people, hallelujah, that have mental illness issues, that are dealing with fear and anxiety. We're going to get to the root because we want those chains to be broken so that you might live unapologetically for Christ in 2023. Hallelujah. Once again, I want to thank all my Spirit Alive family that came out and supported. I want to thank all of the clergy that is here. Hallelujah. All of you that are in the chat room. I just thank God for what he is doing in this time and in this season. So I want to thank you for listening. I pray that you will continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from my household to your household, well, excuse me, from our household to your household. It is my fervor, but hey, I get it. You were slipping the tongue every once in a while. But from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. So on behalf of myself, Reverend Kelly Mark Jones, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, hallelujah. We just want to say good night and God bless you from all of us here at Taking It to the Streets and the Spirit Alive Network. God bless you. Good night. Good night, family. I love you. Thank you.
Good night, all. Love you.
Good night. Love you, too.
Love you.